This is NPR News. I'm Tom Weber. The next U.S. Census is still 2 years away, but it's actually a crucial time right now if that will determine how well the population count goes in this state. The state has a lot riding on the census. That count determines how many members of Congress will represent each state. And population trends suggest that Minnesota will lose a House seat. Federal money coming to states is often also tied to population. Each person can mean as much as $1,500 gained or lost each year. Several organizations are already preparing for the census because they fear the Trump administration is not funding it properly. NPR News political reporter Brian Back spoke with longtime political consultant Marcia Avner, who's working with the Minnesota Council on Foundations.
A concern that we have is that right now, the Census Bureau will have three regional offices in Minnesota, Duluth, Rochester, and the Twin Cities. That leaves two-thirds of our landmass, if you will, underserved. And so those are the kinds of concerns that we think are a fallout of the budgetary shortfalls, this choking, if you will, of the census by underfunding it consistently.
How does that compare to what it was, maybe even 10 years ago?
The way in which the Congress has treated the Bureau is to say they need to operate at 2010 levels, and they need to cut their costs significantly by modernizing, I put that in quotation marks, because the census is now moving into an electronic mode. They're hoping that 49 or 50% of the respondents across the country will respond using the internet. And the Congress is hoping that that will cut costs. Of course, in the initial year, that causes increases because it's a new technology, new equipment, new development. So the Congress has essentially starved the census, saying you've got to operate at 2010 levels. And by the way, we're going to operate with continuing resolutions so that no inflation increase, no budgetary increase. By some estimates, they're $300 million short. By other estimates, it's growing in terms of the need, especially with the new technology. And the consequence of those cuts has been fewer staff, fewer regional offices. And a thing that concerns me the most is that they're not doing the testing that they were committed to doing. In 2017, they were to do three tests, two of them on Indian reservations. And because of the budgetary constraints, they had to cut those tests. 2018, the year ending in 8, is the year in which the census does its go-live end-to-end test. Three sites were identified for that test. Two have now been cut. So the primary and only test that we know of for the census will be in Providence, Rhode Island.
You said you've been at this for a year and a half already. What could you possibly be doing that far out from a kind of a set time count?
So with our national allies, there are funders across the country working on this. In 2010, philanthropy contributed about $35 to $45 million to the work on the ground carried out by nonprofits and local governments and in the business sector to mobilize the response to the census, to educate residents of our country, all of whom are to be counted. And as we go into this next cycle, at the federal level and at the state level, in the philanthropic community, there's a recognition that there are two steps to the work. One we define as a policy phase, in which we are urging the Congress to fully fund the census. We've argued for a number of components of the census, one that I think had a lot of tension earlier this year is the whole issue of whether or not there would be a way for LGBTQ people to identify themselves. That was something that the community really wanted. It had been promised, and it was then cut from the census. There's a proposal that we've been opposing, which would put a citizenship question on the census, which would have an obvious and significant inhibiting effect on a number of people who might feel threatened by identifying themselves as not having citizenship. So there's a policy phase in Minnesota that translated to working with the legislature to increase funding for the Office of the State Demographer so that we have a little more capacity to do some of that detail work, making sure all the addresses are accurate, and then moving into the field component of this work, really ready to mobilize people and educate people across the state.
I want to unpack a little bit of that. One of the things you mentioned is you use the words on the ground. How important is it going to be that people feel a local connection to this federal effort?
I think the only way Minnesota is going to get a good count is if we have an excited, enthusiastic, very well-organized on-the-ground operation. And one of the things that we are looking at in the philanthropic community is right now putting together funding that will allow us in Minnesota to have a state-specific, community-specific communications plan. We think that the way to get people to respond to the census is going to require that we have messengers who are in and of the community who are able to reach out to people and make the case for why this matters. And obviously it matters, not only because it's our guide to fair representation, but it is also key to an enormous amount of resources. We know that Minnesota's budget is about a quarter or more federal money that is allocated based on either the census specifically or other data sets that build on the census.
So you also mentioned something about potential inhibiting effects. And obviously, we're in a different time with our political tenor, and there are some people who worry about some of the policies toward immigrants in particular. How worried are you, or how worried should the public be, that people decide that I'm not going to give my information to the federal government because it's too big of a risk for me or my family?
The Council on Foundations has made the census a priority, in part around their commitment to equity and inclusion. So, of course, we are deeply concerned about fears that people may hold because they're afraid of deportation or afraid of the threat of registries that could lead to other consequences. This is a national issue, and we are working with national organizations like the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights to identify ways that we can provide really strong and believable and trustworthy assurances to people that their information will be kept private. And I will underscore that none of us wants to put anyone in harm's way. And we're not naive. We know that in an era where there is a hacking story every other day, and when there is a lot of skill in massaging and management of data, that there are good reasons why people would be fearful. We also know that the Census Bureau itself has a deep commitment to protecting the privacy of information. And so one of the reasons to be starting as early as we are is that we are working with the Census Bureau on a regular basis to let them know what we're hearing in the community and to press them to give us assurances that make all of us confident that this information is protected.
So what is the foundation in Minnesota doing to stitch together this network of close-to-the-ground partners?
The Council on Foundations is convening two groups. One that we've worked with over the last year and a half is the Minnesota Mobilization Partnership. That group has been thinking both about the policy questions: how do we press for more money for the census at the federal level? But what can we do in Minnesota to strengthen our resources? And also thinking about the mobilization plan. We've also convened a census business roundtable. That's been formed more recently. We had our first meeting in early December, and we convened about 30-some representatives of the business sector.
What's their stake?
This is key to business. Business depends on the census for how to site plants, how to site businesses. We talked to Target, and Target really depends on the census to decide where to put their stores and what to put on the shelves. And so they are one example of why business cares about this deeply. Businesses in Minnesota, first of all, tend to be civic-minded, so they understand the bigger stake of resources for all components of our life as a community. They have a real interest in understanding the demographics of the areas in which they do business, and they really want to be sure that we have the resources and the information that they need for economic decisions. It really is a tool that's critical to economic development in Minnesota. The folks at our own state agency will tell you that, and businesses really rely on this information.
At this stage, is Minnesota ahead of the game, behind where you want it to be, right on pace? Where would you put it?
Minnesota's ahead of the game. And that's really important because we need to save one of our congressional seats. And the way that will happen is if we do a particularly good count and some other states that simply don't have an organization that is generating a lot of activity around this may be nowhere, simply because the Census Bureau does not have the resources to do the field operation in the way they've done it in the past. So Minnesota is looked at as the model nationally. A few other states that are doing significant work now are California, New York, New Jersey, Georgia. We're seeing some interesting work percolating, but Minnesota is the go-to place. We are asked to do webinars and conference calls and engage in quarterly meetings with entities from across the country to talk about the way we're developing the model and the way in which what we're doing in Minnesota might be adaptable in other places.
Do you think people would be surprised at how much forethought is going into this? I mean, I think folks might say, this is seems like a fairly straightforward thing. Everybody gets counted once. And there's a lot of time, money, and just thought going into how to make sure that takes place.
A lot of people are not thinking about the census yet. I think in the general public, people don't have a good understanding of which populations are at risk of not being fully counted. We know that that includes our immigrant populations, our low-income populations, sometimes rural places. But I don't think people realize that one of the biggest undercounts is children between the ages of birth and five. And there's a lot of research going on trying to examine why people don't identify the babies as residents. So there's a lot of education that has to take place. And a lot of people are surprised that we're starting as early as we have started. But once we talk about what's at stake and what will be needed, they get it that if we wait until late in 2019, we will be in deep weeds and unable to generate the kind of field operation that will be beneficial to all Minnesotans.
Well, thanks for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you for covering this.
That's Marcia Abner, who's working with the Minnesota Council on Foundations to help the state prepare for the 2020 census, speaking there with NPR News reporter Brian Baxt.